This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Bernstein and McKnight Show here on 670 The Score. Mark Grody is in for Dan. I'm still Connor. And of course, Mike Florio is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. He is our guest as always, Wednesdays at 10. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Mike, a huge trade in the NFL, one that we've been waiting on for quite some time. The Rams have forked over every single draft asset they could find to get Jalen Ramsey. Why are they doing this and paying the prices that they are?
Well, now, last year, the moves they made in the offseason and then the trade for Dante Fowler during the regular season, it felt very strategic and methodical and calculated. To me, this just felt like it was a desperation play. Now, the Rams had been one of the teams that had shown periodic interest in Jalen Ramsey. The Jaguars' position was, we're not trading him, but they made it known what it was going to take to get him. And on Tuesday, the Rams decided between having Aqib Talib on injured reserve, he's the cornerback that they picked up last year in a trade with the Broncos, and then Marcus Peters, who they acquired in a trade with the Chiefs, they decided to get rid of Peters, Talib's on IR, and they mobilized this plan to get Ramsey. It just feels like desperation to me. I think if they were 5-1 or 6-0 right now, they don't do that trade. But they saw a great defense on the other side of the field on Sunday. The 49ers held the Rams to 78 passing yards. And it may have reminded Wade Phillips, the Rams defensive coordinator, of the defense he had in Denver, which 4 years ago on November 1 held Aaron Rodgers to 77 yards passing. And that was when we first took the Broncos seriously as Super Bowl contenders, and they'd go on to win it. And I feel like this is a move being made by the Rams to push themselves back into the conversation because they feel themselves fading.
Well, if that's the case, I guess I should ask you, does it push them back into the conversation? Because if it does, I don't think it is a desperation move.
Well, there's a lot of work they're going to have to do to win their division. They are behind the Seahawks at 5-1, the 49ers at 5-0, and they've already lost to each of those teams. You got to jump both of those teams to win the division, and that's going to be hard to do. You need both of them to collapse to a certain extent. And even then, if both teams don't collapse, you're looking at one playoff spot that's left over, and you've got every team in the NFC North at or above 500. You got the Panthers at 4-2. You've got the Cowboys and Eagles currently at 3-3 each. It's going to be a scramble for them to get to the postseason. They're going to have to go on the road. They're going to have to do it the hard way if they get there. So I don't know how much it really helps. And maybe it was just more thinking down the road, a combination of this year and next year. And then here's the other thing. We killed the Texans for not signing Laremy Tunsil to a long-term deal when they gave up two first-round picks and a second-round pick to get Tunsil, the left tackle, and Kenny Stills, the receiver from Miami. The Jaguars didn't do a long-term deal with Jalen Ramsey, and Deion Sanders was on NFL Network last night saying Ramsey may not do one. So what have you given up two ones and a four to get a 26-game rental and then the franchise tag dance? It's astounding to me that they didn't push this through to get a long-term deal done, because this was Ramsey's ticket out of Jacksonville. You're never going to get him in a spot where he's more willing to agree to financial terms that may not be as favorable as they possibly can be. And guys, here's what I think is going to happen down the road when these negotiations start, because the top corner makes $15.1 million per year right now. The Rams gave up more to get Ramsey than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack. You're going to start seeing arguments made that Ramsey should be paid on par with Khalil Mack at $23.5 million, not Xavier Howard at 15-1.
Yeah, that I would disagree with.
Oh, I know, but you're going to start seeing, yeah, because, hey, they gave up. I mean, you cannot deny the fact that they gave up more net draft assets to get Ramsey than the Bears gave up to get Khalil Mack.
No, there's no doubt about it. The one part, though, that I would kind of disagree with you on is that you said that, okay, yeah, it's a 26-player or 26-game rental, which is true, but isn't that about right for the windows that exist in the National Football League? That okay, you've got 26 games to make something of this guy, and then still potentially extend him at some point. Isn't that about right in the NFL? 26 games to have a guy and a window that does exist right now, even though it doesn't look very good for the Rams.
But
right
to
now.
Give up two first-round picks that would give you 90 games for those guys before you have to worry about the franchise tag. 90 games, you get 5 years out of those first round picks. They give up two of them and a fourth round pick, which can be, if you use it properly, a low cost, great player that you can squat on for 3 years before you ever have to pay him another dime. You can't pay him another dime until he's got 3 years in. So, you know, what the Rams are doing, this is, I don't want to call it a Herschel Walker type of a trade, but, you know, in comparison, the Vikings didn't give up a whole lot more by way of draft pick capital than what the Rams have given up 30 years later. This is an all-in move to address a weakness that they think is the weakness that needs to be rectified in order to get them back into the conversation. And they only have a year and a half of security before they have to play the franchise tag game. And here's the other thing, too. The guy left Jacksonville not because the Jaguars made a conscious decision that they're going to maximize the return on a guy that no longer fits. He became a pain in the butt. And he had a case of the blue flu for 3 weeks. Oh, my back. Oh, my back. Now his back's fine, right? You think he failed his physical because of his back? Hell no. But he wasn't able to play in the last three games. And at some point, once you've shown you can stretch that rubber band to the point where you would do something like that, you have to factor that into your relationship with the guy, because you could be the next one that all of a sudden he can't play because of his back. And that makes me even more determined to, you know, do my homework, try to get a contract, and not put myself in a position where I may have squandered some valuable picks for a guy that I'm only going to have for a year and a half.
Talking with Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk at NBC Sports here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Segment brought to you by St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. What do you make, Mike? Maybe GMs are evaluating first-round picks a little differently in terms of the actual value of them. We've seen, if I'm counting right, 6 first-round picks traded in this coming draft. Are people looking at it differently?
Well, no. I just think that for various reasons, you've got teams that are willing to give up current players for first-round picks. But also, who cares if you give up future first-round picks if there's a chance you're not going to be there to use them? And I think that mindset is always out there. Like, hey, we need to get better right now. Or, you know, and now that doesn't apply to the Rams. Those guys are going to be there to not use the first-round picks that they've given up. But for some of these trades, you know, like a Bill O'Brien, right? If it's a disaster for him in Houston this year, there's a chance that Cal McNair, who inherited the team from his dad, hits the reset button and just starts over again. So let's get the help. Let's get better now. And so far it's paid off. And yeah, we'll deal with the problem later that we don't have first round draft picks. But you could argue that first round picks are more valuable than they were 10 years ago because the rookie wage scale gives you the chance to get a great player. You have him for 3 years before he can ever say, pay me more money. And you pay the guys, especially in the top half of the round, a lot less money than you paid them prior to 2011.
Well, okay, so the other big story breaking last night, Ryan Tannehill looks like he will get the start for Tennessee at quarterback against the Chargers, in for the former number 2 overall pick, Marcus Mariota from 2015. What does that mean for the Tennessee organization? What are the ramifications of that?
Oh, I think Mariota's done there. I don't think he'll be back next year. You know, the questions going into this year, the top 2 picks in 2015, Marcus Mariota at number 2, Jameis Winston at number 1 in Tampa in the last year of their contracts, 5th-year option deal, $20 million in change, not a bad payday, but are these guys going to do enough to stick around? And Amy Adams, Drunk, I think. I get the names all mixed up. But the owner, the one family member who has the ability to make the decision, she made the comment before the season began, we hope that Marcus can become our franchise quarterback, which implies he's not. And this was his chance to do it, and he's benched during the 6th game of the season. It doesn't bode well for him. And, you know, I love Mike Vrabel as a coach, too, but when you look at how they have been using the revolving door for coaches in Tennessee, and consider the franchise had Jeff Fisher from 1994 until 2010. He was there 17 years as the coach. Since then, and I've got it right here in the record and fact book, it has been Mike Munchak for 3 years, Ken Wisenhunt for 2 years, Mike Mularkey for 3 years, and he took him to the final 8. Mm-hmm. And Mike Vrabel is in year 2. I'd start to get a little nervous if I was Mike Vrabel, because they have an itchy trigger finger there in Tennessee all of a sudden.
Yeah, I would too. And the situation hasn't been great, but here locally, we're taking a look at this Marcus Mariota career. Uh-huh. And we're looking at the Jameis Winston career. And thinking, boy, doesn't it mean something for a franchise to be able to determine how good a quarterback is before you get to that 5th-year option, before you get to signing a $110 million guaranteed contract like Jared Goff has done. And knowing something matters. After 30 games with Mitch, I mean, people are out here wondering if Mariota, maybe his next step is providing some sort of competition for Mitch Trubisky in next year's camp.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all, because that's what Mariota is going to be relegated to. He's either going to be competing with a starter or, you know, another guy who's a potential starter, or he's going to be that short-term, you hold up the jersey in March, this is our starter, and then they draft a first-rounder in April, and it's just a matter of time before Mariota ends up on the bench. But you raise a great point about paying quarterbacks, and when you see what guys like Kyle Allen, Gardner Minshew are doing, Teddy Bridgewater, who is fairly well compensated for a backup, but he's not making franchise quarterback money. At some point, I thought it was going to happen with Jared Goff, and after this past Sunday with 78 passing yards, maybe the Rams wish they had done it. But at some point, somebody's going to say, no, we're not doing it. We're not going to pay you. Sorry, we'll find somebody else. And Trubisky could be the guy that that ends up hearing that. And I don't know if you guys saw this. They've updated the Westgate MVP odds. Because remember when Trubisky went from 200-1 down to 50-1?
Yes.
They all started, they bet down to 51. It's 1,000-1 now.
Oof. I think Danny Parkins needs to buy a new ticket there on the MVP. It's a tough one. Mike, appreciate it as always. Great chatting with you. We'll check in next week.
All right, see you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.